We are a week away from Palm Sunday, a week away from the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Once a year, we linger, elongate those last days and hours, try to live them in real time. And today's gospel from John is a turning point. It is a transition of sorts. It is a foreshadowing of things to come. Up until this point, Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of John has been a public one, one full of healings and miraculous signs, from the feeding of the 5,000 to the moment Jesus walks on water, to the healing of the blind man that we read last week. The raising of Lazarus is, in a sense, the culmination of Jesus' healing ministry, the event that marks the transition between his public ministry and Jesus' final days with his closest disciples. It happens exactly halfway through the gospel, dividing it into two neat halves. And it is a moment of decision, a crossroads. Jesus is in his 11th hour making the decision to turn back, not only toward his beloved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but also to Judea, toward those who were opposed to his ministry and sought his death. It's a moment of decision in the sense that Jesus chooses not to avoid death, whether his or his beloved friend's Lazarus. He simply chooses to face it, and face it head on. The passage today tells us that Jesus showed up not when Lazarus was ill, but only after Lazarus had died. And there is a strange mercy in this passage for those who have longed for miracles and have gotten none. Jesus doesn't simply walk with us in times of joy, but also in our times of trial. Jesus doesn't always help us avoid death or grief or loss, but he will come to us within it, stand with us in the face of it. Up to a certain point, the great many of the gospel miracles look exactly like what we would hope to see in real life. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. And yet we have all had moments in our life where our hopes were dashed, when we longed for a miracle and got none. Could have been the end of a relationship or the loss of something or someone dear to us. We have each faced moments when biblical signs and wonders seem awfully naive about the way the world works. With Lazarus, however, we get something different. We see Jesus step into pain, and more importantly, we see his followers try to make sense of the loss. Martha often gets short shrift in the Gospels. She is often associated with those who miss the forest for the trees, focus too much on the details, when they ought to relish in the simple presence of Jesus. Yet here, in this gospel scene, she makes the confession of faith that Peter usually gets credit for. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming to the world. It may be that in the face of loss, we need the comforting words of prayer to get us through. When we lack the words, when the suffering is too great for us to handle, it may be that the confessions and prayers of others, of the church surrounding us, are the things that provide us with the comfort we need. We need Martha around. And yet it may also be that our first step may be a lot more like Mary's, much more instinctual and visceral, something more than having the right words. It may be that all we can do is weep and lament. And Jesus joins us in that too, in that favorite two-word verse of many a Sunday school student. Jesus wept. Jesus wept for his friend Lazarus. Jesus feels the loss as well. I heard a story recently. A woman named Auburn Sandstrom shares it. It's a story from her own life in her late 20s when she found herself in a particularly tough spot. Late one night, she was in the pit of addiction, trying to raise and care for a young son with an abusive partner. She turned to her last resort. She dialed the phone number of a Christian counselor that her mother had given her, should she ever decide that she wanted to seek out help. A man picked up the phone on the other end, and they talked for hours, from evening till early morning, as she unraveled her grief and her pain, not just to him, but to herself, really, as if for the first time. Nearing the end of their conversation, with a heart at greater ease, maybe, if not unburdened yet, Auburn asked if there was any scripture the counselor recommended for her to read the next day. She wasn't particularly religious, but she would take any advice at this point. And the voice on the other end replied, "There's something I need to tell you, something I've been avoiding, and I need you not to hang up on me right now. You called the wrong number." That conversation marked a turning point in her life, and it wasn't because her addiction dissipated or her relationships were repaired in that moment, but it was a moment when she realized that in the middle of her grief, there was love in the world, a flicker of light and kindness that wasn't just for the deserving. A strange mercy through a stranger in the middle of the night. Healing may not happen in the way you expect it. It may be that your grief feels too great, rupture too wide, the pain too strong, and yet, God is not a God who avoids this pain, but joins us within it. It may be that no human being understands your pain, but God knows pain. God feels loss. And God, too, knows what it's like to come out the other side, bearing the scars on his hands and side, but alive, renewed. Take courage, my friends. Whatever dark hole we wander into, whatever pain feels too great, there is a God who is with us in it, and who will one day soon, unbind and renew, proclaim the power of resurrection. Let us wake from our slumber and look for the new life that God has prepared for us today. Amen.